Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series Show. We are live in studio again this week with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones, leading our discussion on Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you.
What a great chapter this week. We are in a new section of this book called the Release section. We've looked at the excite, how Jesus excited his team, how Jesus transformed his team, and how Jesus grounded his team. And now we're in this place and space of how Jesus released his team inside this book that you've written, Teach Your Team to Fish. And this chapter, what a great way to start the release section. I know I don't think it's the first section of first chapter of this section of the book, but I felt like it was so packed full of genius that we just had to start the show with it. So welcome, Lori Beth. We're glad to have you here today. And unpack what you mean by release, how Jesus released his team.
Well, as I reread this chapter, I was surprised, too, at the depth of not my thinking, but the richness of the stories that were, I guess, given to me to support this concept. And the notion is that a lot of coaches and leaders are trying to get people to improve on what they're not good at. And they spend all their time, you know, improving on what that person's not good at. Whereas Jesus looked to release the genius in people. Hmm. And when you put that filter on, and you look at Paul, who, you know, he wasn't that good of a fisherman. He fished all day and hadn't caught anything. And Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And Paul became one of the leaders of the early church. So Jesus saw him struggling in this area of incompetence,
right,
and transformed him into competence. We have Saul, who was persecuting and tearing down everything he could.
Yeah, I think you'd call him a bully in the chapter.
Yeah, he was a bully. He was intimidating the young Christians and actually stood consenting at Stephen's martyrdom.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Jesus transformed him and grounded him and then released him into this builder up of people and churches, and he became a grower of things rather than a destroyer of things. So as I'm sitting here thinking about some of my struggles, you know, I have tried in the past to be really good at certain things, and the more I realize that God wants turtles to be turtles and not try to turn into rabbits,
right,
and vice versa. If you look at nature and how things toil they grow without toiling. And so many of us are trying to be something that we're not. And we're trying to get good at something that we'll never master because we weren't created to do that. They're finding out now that bees actually have personalities and that the scout bees have some kind of gene that's a little different than the worker bees that want to stay near the hive. And the scouts are, their reward system and whatever brain they have says, go forth, adventure, you know, go find new fields of pollen for us. So how do we listen to that soul voice that God is calling in us to go and be our greatest genius? I think that's why we love the shows The Voice and American Idol and all of those talent shows where you see somebody who is such a genius and they're working as a baker or they're, you know, shipping boxes or doing some of those things. And it's just like, wow, what a great story. It's not about them becoming famous as much as the joy of seeing them released into what they were created to do.
And you've pretty much spent your whole life, Lori, up to this point, helping people get clear about their genius, coaching people into their best and highest good, finding ways to, you know, divinely connect others, as you would say. This work that you're doing, you know, where does it come from? Well, you know, there's a huge amount of genius in what you do, and I think people over the decades have recognized that. But where does genius come from? Where did you find your genius, and how did you release it ultimately?
Well, thank you for those kind words. I think for me, genius comes out of a passion. And my passion came, I think, from sensing the burden that my parents had of doing jobs that were not their genius. You know, my mother is an incredible artist, was an incredible artist, and she labored for 38 years as a bookkeeper. And my father really wanted to be a social worker, and he labored as a coffee salesman. And back then, those were the choices. You know, those were choices that people had. But now, people can really be relieved to do incredible, incredible things at all different mm-hmm. ages. So for me, it was hoping that no one would ever again have to labor at work that did not suit them. That Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so an easy yoke, it doesn't mean you don't have a yoke. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're not working. It doesn't mean that. But it suits you. It fits you. And then what you feel is like you're playing when you're actually working. It's
right.
It's not that drudgery of having to, oh, no, you know, go to the grind.
Yeah.
Go to the grindstone, make the donuts, you know,
right.
That type of thing.
I love the story in this chapter that you shared about a CEO or a manager, an owner of a company who had workers that maybe the tasks they were doing, the jobs they were doing, was not a good fit. And so he allowed them to realize that this is not a good fit. Let's try you somewhere
mm-hmm.
else, and
mm-hmm.
let's keep trying you until it's a good fit. What a great story of not just genius and how to release that in people, but of leadership. I mean, wow.
Wow, yeah. He was a head of an insurance agency, and he really took to heart the notion of his responsibility was to coach and grow people.
Mm.
And so if somebody wasn't working, he made it his personal responsibility to help them find a place in the company where they could grow. And he shared that he would come in and say, okay, this really isn't a fit for you. And a lot of companies say, bad person, wrong person,
yeah.
go die in the wilderness. You know?
Right.
But he would say, okay, this isn't fitting, so let's try something else. And he would talk to people, where do you think your genius
mm-hmm.
could be released? And then they would say, and he'd talk to the supervisor and try it for 90 days and see if it was a better fit. And I know from personal experience, some of the coaching and consulting I've done with corporations, the leaders try to make, I'm thinking one particular fire that's trying to make an earth fire, and it's just not
mm-hmm.
going to happen.
Right.
And but when we paired him with the water, this earth began to blossom
mm.
because he was supported, and because the water had the genius of communication that the earth didn't have.
Mm.
And it's amazing to see the transformation in that department.
Wow.
And as I'm thinking about this, you know, all the personality tests that go back to the Chinese 5,000 years ago were created and designed to help people find their right work.
Mm.
And I think that's why that's my passion about PEP and the elements is, you know, I'm lining up with all those people who have tried to say, how can you best serve this community, this organization, this family? What's your genius, and how can we help you get into it? And I say, you know, there are no wrong musical notes.
Mm-hmm.
There are just notes in the wrong place.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I think part of what we teach in this organization is an elemental understanding. And, you know, as that gets extended from the basics of earth, water, wind, and fire to excite, ground, transform, and release, we begin to see this third layer emerge, which is focus, balance, productivity, and fulfillment, which is where I think the genius also shows up. So in this basic of understanding, we begin to handle our element makeup, and then we move into a space of, you know, I'm as a fire, I'm drawn to the excitement. You know, my earth is drawn to the grounding of how to keep it exciting. But then, you know, there's a step beyond that where I think genius starts to happen. And I think that's where you took this process after this book, Teach Your Team to Fish, and it showed up in Jesus Life Coach, which I think is this perfect union of how moving from a team into areas of focus, balance, productivity, and fulfillment can happen. That's where the genius happens. You know, so you've been a genius, really. In taking what is kind of a human puzzle and crafting it into this magnificent picture of you know, of impact. It's amazing.
Well, and I owe that to a boss who sat me down and she said, "You're just not suited for this work. What else could you be suited for?" And she did it with love. Catherine Mundell at the time, now Catherine Calhoun, she said, "You know, this isn't, you know, you're really not thriving here. This just doesn't suit you."
Mm-hmm.
And so we came up with me being more in the promotions, which was Fire Wind, and the task I had been given was an earth task of being a women's information specialist, which was data, document. And it was like, oh, she saw early on that that was not suiting me, but she didn't just kick me out.
Right.
She crafted my whole career, really. And as we later went back and did her mission statement, her core values are beauty and genius, releasing beauty and genius into the world.
Wow.
So you could say that her legacy, you know, is living on in me, and hopefully is the people that we train, and then they train, and
right.
You know, it just goes on and on.
Yeah. So, in order to begin to jump into release as a leader, I mean, you can't release them first. They first have to be excited about the big picture. They have
right.
to be grounded in the cost of what that big picture is going to take. And then there's something happens in the transformation section that gets us ready, I think, for the release. So speaking to leaders that might be listening to the show, or coaches or pastors, or, you know, whoever's going to pick this up later, how do you get to the release? You know, how do you get there?
It's a process.
It's a long process.
It takes the wins. You know, we want to just release people immediately. And I saw the movie Casa de mi Padre with Will Ferrell, which is just a total spoof on telenovelas. And there's this one scene where the father, the rancher, has to leave, and there's a five-year-old boy, maybe he's eight, I guess, and he's with his mother, and he says, "Okay, son, it's your turn to watch out for your mother." And he hands this eight-year-old boy this huge rifle.
Oh, wow.
And he just goes off, and the kid is sitting there with a rifle, and then these people come to try to capture his mother, and he ends up shooting his mother by mistake. So somehow they made that funny. But and as you can hear the audience gasp when the man, you know, gives this boy this rifle with no training other than this great sense of responsibility, and he presented it to him like it was a family heirloom. And this kid, you knew he had no capacity for this task.
Wow.
And I just thought about how often we do that in churches and in organizations, and you know, we're handing over batons and rifles without training.
Sure. Wow, that's a lot to chew on. Well, I just love this section on releasing the genius, but I know it's not easy. So we don't want people just to think, oh, here's a section on release, we're going to be talking about it for the next few shows. But it is a process. And so if people want to know how to do this, Lori, where do we begin?
Well, you need to, first of all, you need to have the concept that everyone has genius in them.
Mm.
Not how smart are they, but how are they smart?
Mm.
And so don't go around looking at your team like they're a bunch of idiots or only a few good apples. Everybody has been given genius. And so if you look at that as, okay, they have it, then your job is to uncover it.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you begin looking for those opportunities to become coachable moments? And then what grounding do they need and what transformation do they need in order to really thrive in that area of genius?
Yeah, wow. Well, thank you so much again for this time today. I just love this chapter. I'm going to read it, I think, three or four times this week. I love the stories about how Jesus released the genius in those that he touched and he was around. So we'll be back next week to talk more about this release characteristic of the Omega Leader. So we'll connect again in a few days. Thanks so much, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley.